Okay, so greetings from Urban Nation Church Malaysia in Puchong. We don't come here often. At most, maybe Pastor Tim will come here often to visit the church and all. We're here only when things don't go your way. No, I'm just kidding. But most of the times when our trip over here was really to assist you guys in regards to the tech or in regards to the worship ministry, and it's not really a burden. I think a few weeks ago I did tell the people in church that, because some people actually thought that I was very tired and physically, emotionally, mentally and stuff. And then when they asked me that question, I don't know. Maybe physically I am, but I really enjoy serving the Lord. You know, it's been like I got saved in the year 2022. And I think since then, right, I've 2020. Yeah, I was one. Sorry. 2002. Yes. I'm so used to the 2020 something. All right. But 2002, since then, I've always served the Lord. And I love serving the Lord. And no matter how tired I can be, I enjoy it so much. You know, I find great joy. Okay, before I go on, okay, I would like to introduce my family. That's right. You guys, can you guys see this? Okay, so this is my beautiful family. If you guys are wondering why it's so blurry, and why I'm not that blurry, okay, this is to show you guys an example on how to not take selfies. Okay, this is the bad example of not to take selfies, okay, so They're blur. My youngest is even blocked by the mask. So, this is not how to take selfies, all right? Okay, let's go to the next one. Okay, so this is how my family looks like, okay? I love my family. This is my wife. Her name is Hao Ying. If you guys are wondering, she's actually from Johor. Normally, I say Johor is the best place in Malaysia, but today I'm in Penang. So, Penang is the best place in Malaysia. Okay, so I have three beautiful kids. My daughter Heidi, she's 8 years old this year. My son Enoch, he's 5, and my youngest is 20 months. His name is Zeke. All right, so this is my beautiful family. And when they found out I was coming here to Penang, they were like asking, "Oh, why can we come?" I was like, "Yeah, sure." And then they found out my schedule. So I arrived there yesterday, and they saw my schedule. Then they changed their mind. They were like, "Oh, never mind, we won't come this round." And then I told her, and then she asked, "Where are you guys going to stay?" Then I was like, "Oh, we're going to stay at the Sheraton in Penang." And then my wife's like, "Oh, are you leaving us behind?" I'm like, "No, I was just joking." But I just want to thank Auntie Sue and also Uncle Ed for hosting us. You know, me and the team really love your house. And yeah, definitely going to bring my family, not them, but my family back to Penang. All right, so, okay, so I need to make sure that I say Pastor GP and not Pastor Tim. Okay, so used to it. Okay, so we are in this series called Gospel Explained, where I believe there are like a couple of blocks in which Pastor GP shared the fourth block on the gospel of power. Yes. So today I'll be continuing that. I know Dixon jumped the gun. He was on the fifth block talking about the grace, all right, the gifts of grace and stuff. But today I want to take it back to the fourth block again just to continue on where Pastor pretty much left off. And I want to focus more on gospel fulfillment or gospel missions, all right? And to start off, let me just read this verse in Romans chapter 15, right? But on some points, I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, and of that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. Papa, we just commit this time into your hands. Guide my lips. May every word that comes out of my mouth not return in vain, and may you be glorified in the process. So we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today, I would like to challenge all of us, all right? Or I would like to give you guys a reason, okay? Challenge you guys in the reason to why it's important to fulfill the gospel. You know, fulfillment, the definition of fulfillment is to achieve something. Something of desire, something of promise, something of a dream, all right? In a sense of satisfaction. Last year, I actually bought an Apple Series 7, okay? Do you guys have the picture? That's right. There you go. An Apple Series 7. And honestly, I'm an Apple guy. Okay, I have an Apple iPad. I have an iPhone. I got a Mac and everything like that. And all this does the work of the ministry, if you guys are wondering. All right? Because I produce music. I write music and all this stuff. So I need all these things. One of the things I didn't really need was actually an Apple Watch, you know. But hey, since I'm already in the Apple wagon, I might as well just jump into the Apple Watch territory. So I was trying to justify myself because for years I've never worn a mechanical watch. So I was like, let me check into it. Let me venture into the whole Apple Watch thing. So I went to get an Apple Series. And when I got it, I didn't feel fulfilled. I didn't feel satisfied. I was like, meh, okay. It wasn't a need. It was more like a want. It wasn't something that was necessary in my life. Obviously, along the way, I realized the whole health features and everything was kind of beneficial. But it wasn't something that I need. I need the Ultra. No, for those who watched the Apple announcement 2 weeks ago, there's a new watch coming. It's Apple Ultra. No, that's not what I need, okay? But I kid you not, the moment I bought the Apple Watch, my staff, my favorite staff in the world, Evangeline, okay, bought an Apple Series the next day. So, but anyways, so there wasn't a sense of satisfaction. I wasn't fulfilled. Okay, next slide. Okay, can anybody tell me what this is? Chicken skin? Can anybody guess what this is? Butter prawn? What is it? Mantis prawn. Okay, anything else? Pork skin. Okay, anything else? Okay, I'm not sure whether the projectionist, I don't know if the projector does justice, but it looks like lard. Okay? But here's the thing. This is just not any ordinary lard. All right? This is Wagyu beef fat, in which I rendered for 4 hours. All right? So you guys know what the taste of Wagyu is. I mean, if you guys can afford it. But if you guys know, you guys can keep dreaming and stuff like that. But this is how it is. I mean, I got this on discount and all because I love to cook briskets. I like to barbecue. So I had excess fat. I decided to make this, okay? So what I did was I made this for 4 hours and I actually made fried rice with it. So imagine garlic, rice, Wagyu fat. You guys are hungry. Don't worry, they didn't give me a timeline to finish the sermon, so. All right. So I did this. And why is it I show you this? Because one of my favorite hobbies is actually to cook. I actually cook. And I actually worked in a restaurant like a few years ago. And I love cooking. And you can ask, Brian actually is part of my life group. And almost every other life group, I actually cook for my life group. So I'll cook like one of the main dishes and all, and they'll bring in something to add on. And I'll just have life group over food and so on and so forth. And I enjoy that. Personally for me, right, just to watch them eat, the satisfaction on their face, the comments saying, wow, this is actually pretty good. it makes me feel full. Like to a point where like I don't even need to eat anymore. You know, so that's the satisfaction which I'm looking for. A sense of fulfillment that I'm looking for. Like people are blessed and they just enjoy the whole fellowship. That's the kind of fulfillment I'm looking for. But just to be honest, I didn't cook this for them. I cooked this for me and my family. So they never tasted this. So if you guys are wondering, but I do cook for them. I think my latest one was adobo chicken. Yeah. Oh, yes, I am a Filipino, if you guys are wondering. Okay, I am a Filipino, but my wife is from Johor. All right? Okay, so in order to have a sense of fulfillment, in my opinion, you need to get three things, all right, in order. Okay, you need to have purpose, you need to have goal, you need to have a plan, all right? Because when you have purpose, it creates something, it creates meaning, it creates a reason, a starting point for you to accomplish something. A lot of us, when we find our identity in Christ, and that's a good thing, when we understand the whole purpose, the whole reason that, the whole thing about us being sons and daughters of God, not a lot of people have an idea of what their purpose is in life. I used to make fun of a leader back then, because this leader always like asks everybody that he meets, what is your purpose? You know, it became like a thing, like almost everybody that this leader meets, he asks that question, what is your purpose? And I used to like, now when I think back, right, when I think back right now, there is so much meaning to that question. And you'd be surprised that not a lot of people really understand their purpose in life. But when they understand their purpose in life, there are a lot of things that could be achieved. You know, sure, in the beginning, you may not have an idea of what your purpose may be. But the more he asks this question, the more it triggers that person's brain and he starts thinking and dreaming about certain things. And all of a sudden, he finds a purpose. As I mentioned, I was saved in 2002. I was 17 years old. Before I was 17 years old, I had no purpose. I didn't realize that I needed to be an adult soon. Like, I didn't know if I wanted to be an engineer or a doctor. I had no idea what I wanted to be, okay? Until I got saved. And when I got saved, it wasn't like I wanted to be a doctor after that or I wanted to be an engineer and stuff like that. All of a sudden, after tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, I knew right there and then that I wanted to serve Him for the rest of my life. Okay? So that gave me a purpose. You asked me whether I knew how much pastors were paid and stuff. I had no idea. I didn't even know where to start. But I knew that I was called into the purpose of serving Him and His kingdom. All right? So when you have purpose, it creates a certain meaning, a reason for you, a starting point for you to accomplish something. Then when you have a goal, all right? So I was talking about purpose, now I'm talking about goal. When you have a goal, it gives meaning to the purpose that you are called into. All right? Get this. I discovered that my purpose is to serve God for the rest of my life, all right? The goal asks me this question. In order for me to have a goal, I had to ask this question. How do I get there? And I started thinking about, man, what do I have? And I realized that all my life, I've always had this music genetics. You asked me whether I learned how to, I went for teaching classes. No, I think it's a Filipino thing. Okay, every Filipino, this is what they say, all right? Every Filipino knows how to sing, okay? And the other thing was I was so interested in sound and stuff, so hence I got into sound engineering as well. I also knew because I wanted to serve Him, I needed to get into some form of Bible school. So I didn't know how it was going to happen, how it was going to take place, but I did know that this is what I wanted to do. I had a purpose. I had a goal. I need to make sure and do my research in terms of which music school I need to get into. I need to make sure I need to which Bible school I need to get into. Back then, it was ENLI. Yeah, Every Nation Leadership Institute. So I thought about going there. Yeah, but I've never been. Maybe the seminar, maybe. Yeah, maybe. But I've been to some Bible school, all right? So if you guys are wondering, okay, I've been to a Bible school, all right? I even had Pastor Tim to sign my stuff. All right. So when you have a purpose, you have a goal, okay? You need to have a plan, okay, to get there, all right? A plan is, when you have a plan, it gives you something to aim for, to target, to focus, and not lose sight, all right? You need a plan. So gospel fulfillment, again, we need a purpose, a goal, and we need a plan. Tell to your neighbor, we are here on a mission. All right? Okay, the first time I shared the gospel, all right? So again, I was 17 years old. The first time I shared the gospel, in my first semester in college, I wasn't like, you know, change entirely and all this stuff. Obviously, it was a journey. It wasn't like when I received Jesus as Lord and Savior and all, the next day I stopped smoking and all this stuff. So my first semester, I was still smoking. I was doing all this stuff and all, but I was still going to church, okay? We had a summer break, and during the summer break, I think it was the biggest turning point in my life. My youth pastor was telling us that, okay, all this while we've been doing high school, and since some of you guys are getting into college, I think we need to penetrate the colleges. So I was one of a few of them who was entering college in Dubai. Yes, I grew up in Dubai, all right? So I was, challenged to actually share the gospel in college in the city of Dubai. The college that I was into was actually very Islamic dominant. My principal was a Muslim. Everybody was a Muslim, technically. And I was one of the few Christians in that college. In fact, during that time, a CF, which you guys call over here, Christian Fellowship and everything like that, right, isn't as common as how it was back then in 2002. So when my youth pastor was like, hey, we need to get into the campus, let's do it and stuff, I don't know what I said. I just said, yes, sure. But again, I had no idea what I was going to do. So summer break was done. I went into second semester. And right there and then I stopped smoking and all this stuff during that time. And I remember sitting down in class. I was sitting down. And all of a sudden, when you give a chance, an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do something in you, you just have to give it a shot. So what did I do? The Holy Spirit was like, tell me, okay, you need to share the gospel to the next person beside you. I was like, are you sure? I was like asking, like, I was beginning to question myself, like, whether it's me or the Holy Spirit. Then somehow I felt this strong tug saying, no, we have to share the gospel. I was like, okay. So I share the gospel. I tell this person who seen me in my first semester, who I was, and I share the gospel. And he's like shocked with the whole story. He was like, wait a minute, last semester, you're just smoking your heart away. You're always in that corner, and everywhere I go, I see you with a cigarette and stuff like that. But then here you are trying to share Jesus? I was like, yeah. Do you want to receive Jesus? And he's like, no, not today. So first attempt to share the gospel and all, and I get rejected for the first time. And I was like, oh, gosh, this is even more worse than a heartbreak relationship. I didn't know what to do. So, but again, I was persistent in terms of like sharing the gospel to this person. So after 2 weeks, I did it again. I shared the gospel and all, and received Jesus Christ. So right there and then, right, it became a ripple effect. So after he received Jesus Christ, he actually shared to his girlfriend, who is actually a non-believer as well. And she too also received Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, news spread to one of the senior batches and stuff. They also were told, like, oh, there's this guy who's actually sharing the gospel and stuff like that. Do you guys want to know who Jesus is? So all of a sudden, they also wanted to come in that group that we were doing, because we were doing one-to-one. Yeah. And they wanted to come in also. So all of a sudden, from a group of one, from a group of three of us, it started growing to six, to seven, to eight, to a point that it grew so much that I actually told my youth pastor to come to my campus to actually take over, in a sense, because I didn't know what to do after that. So, and again, as I mentioned earlier, there was no such thing as CF back then. So all of a sudden, news spread around in different churches, finding out there was a CF that started in that campus. And then they started inviting me to their churches, the church meeting. They asked, like, how do you do it and stuff. If you ask me, right, it's just an every nation thing. Go do one-to-one. Go meet with somebody, go do one-to-one. It's as simple as it gets. You know, and so I was, so not only, not only was I bold enough to actually share the gospel at that time, but it became a part of me, an extension of who I am, which is to share the gospel, to share who Christ is, you know. So the first thing I wanted to share, okay, 3 points, so at least you guys know that I'm going to end soon, all right, is that the first thing I want to share in fulfilling the mission is that you are called into, all right, is that our purpose in mission is to offer our ministry to God as an act of worship. In chapter 15, verse 16 of that verse, Romans, all right, it says that to be a minister of Christ, Paul, is to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus, then I have a reason to be proud of my work for God. Okay, so a couple of things. Paul is called into the priestly service, a priestly ministry. Okay, that's one. So the word minister over there, okay, is from the Greek word liturgos. Okay, now, I don't know if you guys can correct me, okay, for all of you Bible speaking people. Right, liturgos, okay, which is in Greek, which means a functionary in the temple, or generally a worshiper of God. Keyword, a worshiper of God. This is where we get the word liturgy. All right. So Paul sees himself metaphorically as a priest of God. If you guys can recall, in the book of Peter, it says this. All right, that believers are called to be a priest. Okay, in Second Peter, I believe, it says that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Only Miyoki knows the verse. Okay, a royal priesthood and a holy nation. Okay, God's special possession, that you may be declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful night. Light. Okay. Do you guys know, or you guys, if you guys can recall, back in the Old Testament, right, God did not just call the Levites into the priestly ministry. You guys, I know in the Old Testament, the Levites were called to be the ones, the priests of the tribe and all that stuff. But God's original intention, right, was not just for the Levites. It was actually for the whole nation of Israel, who is called into priesthood, who is called into a holy nation. It was just not the Levites. You know, fast forward today, we are those new covenant priests. Believers, that's what 2 Peter says, all right? Believers in Christ are the new covenant priests. Okay? In Hebrews chapter 13, it says that through Him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips and that gives thanks to His name. And do not neglect not doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. In other words, we as priests are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. The Gentiles who Paul was talking about in Romans, okay? The Gentiles who came to faith in Jesus through the ministry of Paul are like a great offering that he gathered together. And he gives that offering to God. All right? Paul's job is to help people and their lives to be acceptable offering to the Lord. You know, in worship, we have this thing we call worship is a lifestyle. In the same way, sharing Jesus should be part of that lifestyle. The ministry that we're called into, if you guys are wondering, oh no, but I'm not in the worship ministry. Oh no, I'm not in the usher ministry. No, there is a ministry that God has called each and every one of us, and it's in the ministry of reconciliation. All right? So you do not have to be a full-time staff. You do not have to be a worship pastor. You do not have to be somebody in the church office or something like that. You can be a full-time mom. You can be a full-time dad, because there's a trend right now. Dads are becoming full-time at home, which I've been asking my wife, but my wife is like, no, you work. you can be a taxi driver. Do we still have taxi drivers? No, sorry. Grab drivers. You can work in your favorite. You can work in your favorite food stall. You can be anybody, and yet you're called into the mission field by God. All right? We all have something to give. All right? So first one, our purpose and mission is to offer our ministry to God as an act of worship. The second one is our goal in mission is to preach the gospel by the power of God's Spirit that will produce obedient disciples. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, and by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Okay, they're talking about, in this verse, the partnership with the Holy Spirit. Okay, partnership with the Holy Spirit. You know, people tend to shy away when people talk about power. When you talk about the power of signs and wonder. Okay? Maybe it's because when they pray for somebody, nothing happens. It's real. Okay? Sometimes when you pray for somebody and, you know, you get disappointed and all this stuff like that. So people don't really talk so much about signs and wonders. Okay? I remember the first time I prayed for somebody's health. Okay? She had a major migraine. And she was actually my neighbor. It was those moments where like, Neil, I think you need to go to your neighbor. Something's up. So I went up to the person. I was like, okay. I just felt like, I want to ask you, like, how are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm not doing well. I happen to have a bad migraine. It just wouldn't leave. So I was like, okay, cool. Let me just pray for you. So I prayed for her, and I was in a hurry, so I just left. Then after I came back, and I saw my neighbor, and my neighbor was like, oh, was this, I just wanted to tell you, after you left, when you prayed for me, the migraine just left. Yeah. In other words, I took the migraine with me to wherever I was going. All right. So it just disappeared. There was another incident. Like I was in the missions. I was in a missions team to Colombia, and same thing. I just felt the Lord said, "Okay, there's somebody over here who has a migraine." I don't know why. I have this thing with migraines. So I just called out. I was like, "Anybody here with migraine?" And then they were like, "This person put his hands up in the air." I was like, okay, cool. So I went back over there. I was like, okay, so let me just pray for you. And I prayed. And this person was, I asked the person, I was like, how are you feeling? You doing better? And then he was like, no, the migraine just got worse. I was like, wow. Okay, so what happened? No, it was just all the way here. Then all of a sudden, it went all the way back. And it just got worse. I'm like, okay, let's try it again. So I prayed for the person. And then, next thing you know, the migraine left. So I was like, oh, thank God. Okay, and, you know, I've seen it all, okay? I've seen people's eyesight restored, okay? I've seen people gain a bit of hearing and stuff. I've seen breast cancers. I've witnessed, yes, breast cancers disappear, all right? Enough for me to know that the power of God is still at work. Okay, the power of God was not just reserved for the first century Christians, but it is still happening in today's time, powerfully, as it was back then. Okay, in fact, let me just ask you guys this question. Anybody with a migraine? Anybody with a migraine? Raise your hands. Who has a migraine in the house? Okay, for you, bro? Okay, stand up. It's just you? Okay, don't put so much pressure on him. If you guys have a migraine, please stand up with him. Anybody? Just you. Okay, bro, just stand up. Okay, let's just stretch our hands to him. Okay, let's just stretch our hands. All right. Okay, Papa, I just want to thank you. Because God, you are a healer. You are our miracle worker. I feel like I want to sing a song right now. Papa, we Waymaker, miracle worker. All right. Papa, we just release your healing over him right now. That God, as passionately as he drummed his way through worship, God, you are drumming away the migraine that is on him right now. In Jesus' name, be gone. Amen. Amen. All right. Tell me how you feel later, all right? Are you serious? Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, great. Okay, I always like it when Jesus does something. All right. All right, here we go, here we go. So for me, right, I will not shy away from prayer. Okay, there's always something about the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the only reason why I think, in my opinion, why people shy away from the whole signs and wonder or do not even want to pray in faith is because they put so much attention and pressure on themselves, thinking that they're the ones doing the miracle. Where in the end of the day, who is our miracle worker? Jesus, God. So the pressure isn't supposed to be on us. If anything, the pressure is on him. You guys get what I'm trying to say? So for me, right, when honestly, my response is always the same. If I see people get healed and I pray, and if I see people don't get healed, it's still the same. My stance and my belief on who God is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and always. So if he didn't heal today, I don't think it was his issue. I'm sure there's always a reason. But that doesn't change the fact that my God is powerful. Sure, not everybody can perform a miracle, okay, but everyone can pray. Yes? It says over here in this verse earlier that that Paul wishes to accomplish in sharing the gospel to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and by deed. So you don't have to do any signs and wonders if so, right? It could be just by the way you talk. It could be the way your lifestyle is, your actions. You know, not a lot of people think so much about this, but I remember there was a story about this usher who was so passionate in regards to taking the chairs, setting up the chairs and stuff like that. And I remember this person say that, I asked, like, how is it you're enjoying yourself? And I can't recall, but it meant something like, because when he picks up the chair, he wants people to see Jesus in him. Like, he enjoys the whole process of ushering and arranging the chairs. He doesn't grumble. And hopefully, as he does that in service, people will see Christ in him. And I like that. You know, the simple things. Like, honestly, I've been asking pastor and all, can I be the usher? I don't know. There's just something about being an usher, just greeting people and saying hi to everybody and stuff. But never had the opportunity. Always wanted me to be on stage. You know, but, you know, if this usher felt that way, it's like the thing that he does matters. Because as he does so, he believes that that Christ is revealed. That people will see Christ in him. Let your yes be a yes. If you say no, let it be a no. Above all, let your action speaks out of word, out the most. People see you. When people see you, they see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Okay, third point. Our plan or our aim and mission is to preach the gospel where Christ is not known yet. In verse 20, it says that, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. You guys heard of the Tan countries? The Tan countries, Pakistan, the Afghanistan, and all the Tan. All right, all the Tans. And so Pastor went to one of the Tans a few weeks back, or was it a month ago? And he was giving us a report. And one of the things that he is so amazed is that for a nation that does not speak English, for a nation that is predominantly spoken in Russia, he is so amazed of the Filipinos who actually took the time to be in that country in servitude to the Lord. They do not know a single Russian word, but they believe so much in the mission that they are called into that they're taking the time to actually learn the language and make an impact in their nation just to spread the gospel. And that's amazing, you know. Despite of the communication that is a challenge, they understand the mission. And they are willing to go the extra mile just for the cause. And I like that. You know, we don't have to go to any of the Tan countries. Okay, there must be a Mr. Tan somewhere in the in the hawker store, or your neighbor must be a Tan. You don't really have to go far. Because these are the places, or these are the people who has yet to know who God is. Tell your neighbor, you are a mission. I would like to end with this, okay? When I was young, and I was so passionate with God, like, I don't know about you, but when you're younger and you get saved and everything, somehow there's so much fire, so much gung-ho and everything like that. When you're older, you're like, oh, God, give me the strength and all this stuff. And I remember when I was so on fire for God. My mom and dad has their own beliefs, all right? I went back home, and I remember preaching the gospel to my mom, you know? And my mom actually told me this. Don't ever share the gospel to me again. That's what he said. So that was like, what, my second rejection in my in my first career as a Christian? that was my second. And that kind of like hurt because, you know, you want your parents to be saved and all the stuff like that. But when she said that, I was like, okay, then let me just give that to God. So I gave it to God. And then a few months later, this is what I heard. I didn't hear this from my mom, but I heard it from somebody else. You see, my mom had a friend who had a son who I knew was when I was young. But he just entered his teens, like maybe he was 12, 13, maybe 14-ish like that. And she's having a lot of trouble with her son. Okay? And then I found out that my mom talked to this mother and said that, hey, you know, my son was also like that. In fact, maybe you can bring your son to his church. So in other words, she's indirectly sharing the gospel to somebody who also doesn't know who God is. He tells my life story about how hard-headed I was as a teenager and encourages his this mother to invite his son to actually come to church. And she doesn't just do this with this person. She actually goes around actually telling people about the goodness of God in my life. And this is someone who actually told me not to preach the gospel to her. You know, long story short, my parents got saved like a few years ago. They came to know the Lord and all this stuff. And, you know, I didn't preach the gospel to them after that. I didn't. At most, right, I did ask them to share, to do the salvation prayer, you know. But it didn't take me so much effort. Like I said, I shared the gospel, I got rejected. But I think it was because of the lifestyle that I lived. You know, I don't just say whatever, I just say I apply. If I can't do it, I can't do it. If I say yes, I'll say yes. They've seen it. I mean, I used to smoke, like I mentioned. I used to hang out with the wrong people and stuff. I used to do things that talk to me after the service. I have to find out that. Okay, but because they saw the transformation of who I was to where I am today, it convinced them all the more that God is real. You know, we don't really have to put so much effort. Sure, you may not see somebody get healed and, you know, do all the supernatural stuff and all, right? But what we all can do is pray, and most importantly, we can love on one another. You know, people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And if your motive is just to make sure that this person receives Jesus, but there's no intentional love in the end, you're as good as the, I was going to say you're as good as the drummer. You're just, you're as good as the sound of the drums, the sounding gong, the cymbals, which actually has no meaning. So I want to encourage you guys, okay? You're in the mission field and you're the missionaries. We have a mission to fulfill, and the only way that mission is going to be fulfilled is if you, in faith, fulfill it. You don't have to be somebody supernatural. You just need to love God. And as you love God, love the people around you. Let me just pray. Papa, I just want to thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that God, you have loved us first before we could even love you in return. And because of your love and because of your faithfulness, at times when we don't seem to be faithful to you as well, God, you remain unchanged. You remain faithful, never changing, because that is who you are. We thank you, Papa. We thank you. We just ask, oh Lord, that God, even as we know the gospel, I pray that we take that further than just our knowledge. I pray, oh Lord, that we take it to heart and apply. That God will not be selfish to just keep it amongst ourselves, but God, share the love, share the joy of what we experience ourselves. That God, people may come to know you for who you are. Not just Lord, not just Savior, but Father as well. So we thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.